first begun hanging around the old train station. And he might have gone entirely unnoticed had it not been for a quirk, an eccentricity of his, an apparent penchant for meeting and greeting every train that stopped at Fort Benton. Railroad personnel mostly ignored him at first, attempting to discourage what they believed was a common panhandler, and yet he asked for nothing. Not once did he beg a handout from conductors or passengers. He just met the trains. And then somebody remembered that it was August of 36 when the vagrant had first showed up, and one by one the pieces began to fall into place, creating a mosaic, a total picture of the nobody who became somebody to people all over the world. And this is the rest of the story. The train depot at Fort Benton, Montana, was a lonely oasis, clinging to bluffs that embraced a nearby valley. Through a cluster of cottonwoods, you could look down on the town from there, or out to the blue mountains on the horizon line that jutted from the prairie floor high into the sky. You'd never imagine that a solitary tramp could haunt that train station and be remembered for it, and yet beginning in the summer of 1936, there was an aging eccentric who camped out nearby, who made it his business to greet each and every train that stopped at Fort Benton. On the days when he looked so bedraggled and hungry, the railroad employees would offer him food. On winter nights that seemed too terribly cold, the station master would shelter him in the station house, but otherwise the old vagrant accepted no charity for days and months, and then for years. Stories about him spread statewide, nationwide, worldwide, told by railroad passengers at first, then by newspapers describing his remarkable ritual. Letters poured into the Fort Benton depot from all over the United States and Canada and from abroad, expressing heartfelt good wishes to the stranger whom strangers thought of as a friend. And then one cold January day in 1942, this would be 5.5 years after he first showed up, the vagrant, according to onlookers, slipped on a railroad rail and fell into the path of a speeding train and was killed. They buried him on top of the bluff that looked down on the depot. Services were attended by the mayors of Fort Benton and neighboring Great Falls, and as countless admirers mourned, many of them wondered how the old vagrant sensed the futility of his earthly mission and at last sought to complete that mission elsewhere. Had he taken his own life? For you see, when he had first arrived at the Fort Benton station, it had been to accompany the body of his oldest and dearest friend as it was brought in its coffin to the train to be transported back east for burial. Now, the man in the casket had been a sheep herder. But somehow the friend who saw him to the train failed to comprehend the forever goodbye. And so for the next 5.5 years, he lived in a hole he had dug for himself beneath the station house. And he met each and every train that stopped there, hoping that one day he and his sheepherder friend would meet again. January 12, 1942, they did. For thus in death were reunited the shepherd master and his fellow sheepherder, his ultimately faithful collie mongrel dog. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL, brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And it's Darcia Stebbins sitting in for Al Fonzie today on Sound Off. Al is spending time with his family. That is a term that we also have been using for a lot of public officials who have been receiving declarations, who have realized that some of their actions over the course of the last several years have put them in a position where they, quote, want to spend more time with their family. And that seems to be a code word for, I better get out of here because this is all being exposed. So I'm glad that Al can actually spend more time with his family in a good way. And that it's where we're trying to keep it a little bit light for at the end of the year, 2024. closing it down, but on a great note. We have Donald Trump that is going to be in the presidency, and we still have several days before getting him to the inauguration, and I think a lot of people are just taking a deep breath and just saying, okay, what do we need to do? How do we need to get there? There's been some wild things going on, and I knew something wasn't quite right, and how do I get involved if I haven't gotten involved? And the people that I have met in the last 3 or 4 years are just the most amazing patriots. Some of you I only know by voice. Some of you I meet at like Debbie Arnold's retirement Christmas party for the Republican Party, and just so many patriots. Love to hear from Debbie Arnold, and hope she's out riding fences. That's what she said she was going to be doing. So we do have a call and a person that I'm hoping can shed some light on some of the things that are going on in our state of California, the county, San Luis Obispo County. And hi, is this Paul?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Paul. So, folks, this is Paul Preston calling in and has a unique perspective as to where we are. Our county, San Luis Obispo County, has been kind of a cesspool. We've been labeled the most corrupt county in the state of California, and I think we have some competition. So, Paul, you're with New California State, and what have you been up to the last several years so that you can give us some information on who might be in even going ahead of San Luis Obispo as being the most corrupt county in the state?
Well, thank you for having me on. And I guess corruption in California is a relative thing, because every county, it seems like, has its own bit of corruption. Some have more than others, and you guys have quite a bit, actually. But there's others, actually, that outdo you. And some of them, even Shasta County, really performed very well in terms of the corruption during this last election cycle. But, you know, what we've been doing is, of course, creating a new state to stop the corruption, to stop what we call communism that's at our footstep right here. And we're being very successful. And as you know, Darsha, we've been in contact with the president, President Trump's team, and it looks like they really want us to become a new state. So that may end a lot of the problems. It also may open up a lot of doors for other things. But, you know, we're going to take our lumps along the way. But one of the reasons why we started New California was the vast amount of corruption that was existent here in California. And it wasn't just... every county has it, and unfortunately, it starts with the county supervisors, and not just the county supervisors. Pretty much, it's their staff. They really kind of run this whole system that they have here in California of corruption.
Yeah, and, we've definitely seen that.
We've been out doing field hearings and everything for the last 4 years. When the election of 2020 came about. We spotted that Shasta County had the worst situation in elections. And so it was December 2nd that we had our very first field hearing in California, as New California. And that was December 2nd, 2020. And since then, we went out and did 73 field hearings all throughout California, tracking down the corruption primarily in the election system, and just listening to people, that was the most important thing. You know, did you think that your election system was fair, equitable? Did you think your vote counted? You know, tell us, you know, what were the positive, what were the negatives about the election? We did not get one positive in all 73 counties about the elections. What we got were nothing but negatives of corruption. And the central theme was, of course, the machines, and the machines, how they were being modified, how they are connected to the internet. We had people that were actually had been members of the of various counties, employees working in the county register voters' offices, coming forward and telling us their story during these hearings. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. The big blow-up in California at the time was these corrupt election systems. And the state of California has not ever, in the time of our existence as New California, held any field hearings at all about any of the corruption in the election system or potentially or the concerns of what people feel about the election systems.
Mm-hmm.
So, that tells you something right there. Again, I challenge the state of California to come out and let's have a field hearing. Listen to your constituents. You members of your assembly, you members of your Senate, have your legislative field hearings outside the confines of the Capitol building. And give people a chance to speak. Don't just give them 30 seconds to speak and move on. As you pass your bill. But they won't do that. They refuse to do that. They refuse to meet with the people. And they're out there touting what a great election system they have. But the reality check is the people see through it. And they see that it is connected to the Internet. They see that the manipulations, especially this year, everybody's been talking about, on the surface about what the corruption looks like. And it's very, very visible to them now. So it was opaque in 2020. It's not opaque now. People can see right through it. And they're very, very disheartened by the corruption they've seen at the county staff level, but it's also at the county supervisors because they realize a lot of the supervisors have been the recipients of these false elections and the fraudulent elections. They've been, groomed. They've been placed. They've been selected, not elected. In our travels, we've discovered that the Mexican cartel apparently runs all the election systems, primarily coming out of San Diego. There's a big system that they have all set up with consultants and so on. We're very well aware of this and all the different various avenues of corruption that they have. Not only is it just the machines, but it's, the voter rolls and all the things that go into the voter rolls, just as an example.
Yeah,
the ability that nothing, and guys, red flag here, nothing is auditable. You cannot audit, you cannot go back and do a proper audit of any election in California.
Well,
and that's why this year, in particular, if you go and look at the counties, mm-hmm. these counties, the numbers are way off, and nobody's even bothered to check that.
Well, and part of the issue is that all of the things that are supposedly in place to be able to prove out that an election was fair and square, all of those things are limited. You only have limited exposure, limited access, and it's a recount is counting ballots, and as I've said, it's like recounting the cash drawer. Well, if you have $300 of Monopoly money in a $1,000 cash drawer, you can count that cash drawer 5, 6, 100 times, come up with $1,000, but 300 of that is highly questionable. And so, the percentages, just to give you some perspective as to what we have in our county right now, we range anywhere from 178,000 active registered voters to 185,000 active registered voters. There were 7,000 that were added in the course of about the last 4.5-5 months prior to the election. And even in 2020, then it was even higher than that. And there had been 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 that were added to the register. But the thing that really took it home for me, Shasta County has kind of been on the forefront here, because as soon as Shasta County was the first county in California to say, no, we don't want to renew the Dominion voting systems, we believe that there's enough of an issue there, we want to be able to hand count our ballots. And what happened? So in Shasta County, then they didn't renew the Dominion contract, and all of a sudden there was an emergency order put out, And that emergency order, AB 969, said that every single county had to have an electronic voting system in place before they could get rid of their other electronic voting system. And Paul, you know, Alpine County, how many active registered voters do they have?
Well, Alpine County, they have about 841 active registered voters. And it takes them 72 days to count the votes.
Yep. It is
27 days. My dyslexia kicked in, 27 days.
15 days. We have 15 days. We have 30 days of voting, 15 days prior to the election, we're counting ballots, and 30 days, 28 days after the election, we're counting ballots. And we San Luis Obispo County, we had the distinction of being the second slowest county in the state of California. But why would Alpine County, 941 active registered voters, over 700 people actually voted, why would they be required to have an electronic voting system? Something about that just doesn't make sense, right?
No, the only thing that makes sense is that they are part of the system. And if you take one component of the system out, then electronically it all falls apart. And they know that. That's why they were desperate in the case of Shasta. And, of course, they did everything they possibly could do. I mean, this will show you what they did. The county clerk recorder, Kathy Allen Darling, or Allen, excuse me, she deliberately falsified documents on a grant that was already approved by the board as a grant for something else, and steered money into buying a complete system from Hart Verity after they got rid of the Dominion system under the guise that they had to have bowl pads for the handicapped. Well, she bought the whole system, and the money that she used was the dirty money coming from Zuckerberg.
Mm-hmm. Using HAVA funds, using funds that were supposed to be for the improvement for the technology and improvement for the voting systems and electronic systems. It was supposed to actually be securing so that it would be a higher security for the election systems.
Well, basically what it meant was that the system would still have to be intact to be able to be used electronically. You know, people say they're not connected to the internet. Really? there's so many things. And again, this has all been brought out. We went up into Shasta twice already. We've been up there and we've had two field hearings. And all this information has been brought forward again. Now, Miss Allen, she conveniently, who's a very good friend of Brad Raffensperger, I might add,
Georgia,
very good friend of Brad Raffensperger out of Georgia, she immediately resigned or retired.
Well, Paul,
right,
we were just making reference
this,
to
and
people.
The board
wanting
didn't
to spend
find
time
out about
families.
It until there was a question by one of the board members, and they figured it out, and the CFO blew the whistle on her.
And that's when she decided to spend more time with her family. We know about that terminology, and
she had a heart condition, she said.
And I think there were four or five county council up there as well that had been part of the maneuvering or moving funds from and having the blessing, like, okay, well, I think this is okay. It's not really going back before the Board of Supervisors. And she did, in fact, receive the money and spent it otherwise. Has that been proven?
Correct.
That's been shown? Okay.
And no one's doing anything about this. You know, you have a very, very weak district attorney there and a very, very weak sheriff. And, of course, they're responsible for this, and they're not doing a thing, which tells me a lot about sheriffs and district attorneys. But, you know, we've been hearing this same old song about the corruption of district attorneys for a long time, George Soros indicated ones. But if you see it, especially as sheriffs, are not as bad. We've had your sheriff actually has done a fantastic job in wanting to know about if there is any corruption. In fact, he put out a corruption hotline, which yes. I really appreciated. He became the envy of a lot of sheriffs when I was talking to some of the sheriffs and saying, yeah, check out what they're doing in San Luis Obispo. They were checking it out, and there's other places, too, like San Joaquin County. They've done a fantastic job.
Yeah, and it was just people self-reporting what was occurring on Election Day before, during, and after. And we also asked...
It was a positive, healthy thing.
Exactly. And we actually asked, please, if you have a great report, there was somebody, a precinct worker or something, it was a really positive experience, we want you to be able to express that as well. It was not just a complaint hotline, but mostly it was for, listen, if you think there was an issue with your ballot or if you were being given information that would lead you to not want to vote or your vote not counting, we'd like to know about that. And there have been several that have come forward. In fact, a person that that is involved with New California State whose vote has not been counted against her name, and that went before the Board of Supervisors, and she spoke with the county clerk recorder herself, and she was wanting to investigate and determine what was going on with that. So, Paul, how is it that New California State, there's a lot of people who say it will never happen. How is it more? Well, we're going to go to a break in just a little bit, but if you could lead in with some of the EDD information. Our listeners here, they know about part of the billions of dollars that got sidetracked. But if you can give us the update just briefly, and then we'll pick it up after the break, and I'll let you explain a little bit more about that.
Well, the update is Gavin Newsom has reached out and touched every business owner for repayment, and the business owners... small and large business owners are going to have to pay the bill, the $25 billion that the government wants back from the loss of the EDD funds that were so easily passed out during the COVID. And, of course, Julie Sue, who is the current labor secretary under Biden now,
and Paul, we'll
she
have
was in
that
charge
break.
Of that program.
You probably
and now
can't
the
hear the music,
have
Paul,
to pay it
but
back.
We're going to bring you back right after
KPRL
the break.
KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The stock market ends this holiday shortened trading week with a gain. The Dow closed the week 2% higher, despite a 334-point loss for the day. The S&P 500 rose almost 3% Monday through Friday, while falling 67 points on Friday. As for the NASDAQ, it saw a weekly gain of more than 3%, losing 298 points today. A second stowaway managed to board a Delta flight, this one bound for Honolulu earlier this week. Unlike the woman who made it all the way to Paris without a ticket last month, this person was spotted and removed before takeoff. The individual managed to get through TSA and the gate agent at Seattle Tacoma International Airport. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Roger Stern, invested in you.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on singlecare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to singlecare.com or download the free app today.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Love shopping for fresh foods and local products that are good for you and the planet? Become a member owner of the soon-to-open Paso Food Co-op. Each membership brings the co-op one step closer to opening its doors. A food co-op is like shopping at a farmer's market every day, offering a unique shopping experience for the whole community. Support your local farmers, food purveyors, and artisans by joining the Paso Food Co-op. Learn more and join today at PasoFoodCooperative.com.
Hey, this is Linda from Steve Schmidt Topsoil. We've been your family-owned and operated neighborhood landscape materials yard for over 40 years, and we invite you to come let us help you with your do-it-yourself landscape projects. Our friendly staff is ready to assist you with design ideas to create the yard of your dreams. Come see us at Steve Schmidt Topsoil. Look for the circus wagon off the 101 on Ramada in Paso Robles.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And Darsha Stebbins joining today, Sound Off, in place of Al Fonzie, who's spending more time with his family. We were just speaking with Paul Preston, and Paul's been, we've held you over the break. And Paul, with New California State, so I've been listening and joining in on the public calls, and people can do the same on Wednesday night and Sunday nights at 7 p.m., about 7:15, it gets started up. But New California State has been paying very, very close attention to the finances in California, in the state of California, and Newsom's policies. And one of the issues during COVID was the EDD and the unemployment compensation that was going out to virtually anybody that wanted to sign up. And as I understand it from Chris Street, who has just done an amazing job bringing forward this information, that with the EDD, the Employment Development Department, that it had a procedure that would, if someone was applying for unemployment compensation, it would go through their employer. They had to document their number of hours, who their employer was, and that they had some kind of utility bill or proof of residency. And that was kind of a security that people could, the EDD could identify someone as being who they were, and that they did in fact work, and that they were in fact unemployed, and there would be confirmation coming back from the employers. And what was different during COVID, and where are we now because of that?
Well, what they did is they basically opened up the federal funds to just about anybody in the world who had a California driver's license or ID. And as a result, people were applying for EDD funds for COVID relief, basically, and got it. And multiple billions of dollars went through the system over 15 months. In fact, anybody's guess about the billions, but the basic guess and agreement by both the federal and the state government was $180 billion. Chris Street, he looks at the number at $300 billion. My people look at the number as more like $850 billion that left the EDD, and most of it bound to China, money laundered to China. They have a vast money laundering system in California, and they took very big advantage of us, and still do to even to this day. We're finding out that there's still a great deal of fraud that exists in the systems. That was all promulgated as with Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom's the governor. He knew about it. He was being repeatedly told that they had to do something about it, and he did nothing about it. Absolutely turned his back, and of course that led Julie Sue just to continue her ways. Ultimately, she resigned from the position because it was Chris who actually saw and spotted when he was doing an audit. Just in, you know, you have to know Chris, but his big thing is to do audits on things just randomly, and he spotted $3 billion missing from the EDD funds, and he immediately called people in the legislative analyst office and others, and they said, "Oh, it's no big deal." And then of course, a couple days later, it appears on my radar screen from some outside sources, and it's about $7 billion. And Chris had the exact agreed number, so we called him and said, you know, you guys, something's wrong there. That number blew up into, well, you know, those estimated numbers. We don't really totally know how much is out there, but the high end is $850 billion to the low end of $180 billion, which is agreed upon That's the actual agreed-upon number. And what that means is when it's an agreed-upon number, because there's fraud, that the government, federal government has a responsibility to claim some of that back. And so it's around $37 to $47 billion that's going to be taken back from the state of California right now. And, of course, the state of California had a payment to make on it, about $25 billion. They failed to do that. They defaulted on that payment, and now the federal government has pushed down and said that to all the employees, excuse me, all the businesses, all employees too, they have
employers.
To pay more. And so do the employers. They have to pay more, and that's where they're finding out that there's, you know, some of these businesses are going to be out of business in 3 or 4 months because they just can't handle that kind of loss of cash flow, and they hadn't anticipated it. But,
yeah,
you know,
this
for
is
me,
very
if I
recent.
Take a look at, I call it communist California, which is really what it is. It's the perfect way to destroy free market capitalism if you do something like this. And they seem to have done a pretty good job of destroying free market capitalism with the large businesses because everything has been pushed out of California. We don't manufacture, or we don't have any real large manufacturing industries again or anymore. We used to have aircraft and we used to do automobiles and so on. None of that's here. Tesla is here. That's it. And, of course, that's real suspect about what's going on with the electric motors. But no heavy manufacturing, even agriculture. They lost all their tomato processing plants except for one or two now. But everything has left California, including the middle class. And that's, of course, if you take out the middle class, you take out those businesses, you have a drop in cash flow to the taxes, from taxes, income taxes, and so on. So California is in real desperate straits because they continue to spend what money they don't have and spend money on constitutional
people.
Items that they don't have money for. And as a result, they're just getting deeper and deeper in billions and billions and trillions in debt. And therein lies the problem. And right now, there's not going to be any federal relief. The last time we had a problem with this is in 2001. And Chris had accurately called then what he's calling now, that California was going to soon to be defaulting on just about everything, and a general default, which won't hurt California because California cannot go bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
They
but
cannot
how many other
bankrupt.
States
However,
are going to want to?
Counties, municipalities, mm-hmm. They can all go bankrupt. There is a provision in the law that, you know, cities can go bankrupt. And so that's where they're pushing this. That's where they're going to push this unless somebody steps in and with the big boy pants on and says, we're not going to do that. We're going to make California pay its debt. Now, if California defaults and doesn't pay its debt, it's going to have to default upon the federal government. And the federal government will then have to pay the debt. And that debt is going to come from the states. Now, we've already actually talked to some of the states. They're not happy with that at all.
No.
But they
not.
Would be happy if California was to form a new state called New California and create with free, you know, with clean credit, clean constitution, and free market economy, a new economy that could help pay off that debt. And that's what we intend to do. That's going to be our main proposition that we're going to put to the federal government.
And what would put the fear of God in people literally with the Electoral College if there was a new state? What does that mean?
Well, what that means is that the half the electoral votes that they're promised right now, which is, what, 54, then half of that was going to go, 27 would go to New California, and 27 would go to Old California. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that would be a game changer. That would be a big game changer, wouldn't it? But the bottom line to it is that this whole falsity that California is a blue state, it will be exposed and laid waste because it is not a blue state. This is a deep red state. Your county is a deep red county.
Mm-hmm.
It's the corruption at the ROVs, the district attorneys, and many of the sheriffs.
The Secretary
not many
of
them, but
voter rolls.
Most, they have a real cover person in every one of these blue counties, and that's the district attorney who covers and makes sure that the right people are going to be elected and or selected into office. Along with the Mexican cartels, these guys have it really pretty much handled. That's all going to go away with New California and Old California. there's going to be free and fair elections. There's going to be one day paper ballot and one day counting. None of this, you know, 2 months of voting season. The Founding Fathers never said that. They said it was one day. It's prescriptive. It's in the Constitution. One day. And there's no other interpretation of that. But, you know, there are other interpretations. And, you know, we've put out the cease and desist orders to all the counties. All 58 counties got our cease and desist orders. As almost all of them, to a degree, got all of our declarations that were sent to them, grievances by 100 people to say that you county official, you're doing a bad job, basically. That lays the groundwork for possible prosecution, is what it does. And we mean prosecution. Like I said, we've been in touch. The Trump people have reached out to us, and we are in contact with them. And they want to know that, and they've asked us to help them identify those counties that are the most corrupt in California. And they're going to refer that to Kash Patel. And so we're in that process of reaching out and packaging the information so it's digestible to the FBI and Kash Patel about the corruption in all the counties.
Well, and as you know, between Shasta County, Riverside County, Orange County, this last election, what a mess. They had the bomb threat at 5 o'clock p.m., then the trucks, vans arriving later on that evening, and then they had 29,000 additional ballots, and they had 4 out of 5 congressional races that were looking like a Republican was going to win. They keep counting, and yep. Oops, sorry, better luck next time, the Democrats in office. But when it comes to elections, it's I keep saying this is not a Republican Democrat. It's not a conservative liberal. This affects everyone, and until we can straighten out our elections, until we can get our elections to where they are actually true, accurate, complete, fair, honest, auditable, transparent to the people, we will not actually know who we are choosing to represent us. And that's why right now, that's why they don't have any sense that they need to represent the people, because they weren't elected by the people.
They were selected, and they knew they would be selected. They've agreed to take the money and to take the open seats. A lot of these people, there is a lot of money that goes across the counters. And we found that out in Shasta County. We had a recall of a board member up there, and boy, once things started to happen there. And again, that recall was generated by the hearings that we had. We had more than 2 hearings up there. We ended up having 4 hearings. Now we've had 2 more. And we're going to go back for more. But in your county, we're coming, I think, next month.
Yes, January.
We're going to have our hearing down there. And whatever information we get that's relevant will be passed on to the incoming FBI director, Kash Patel. And that will help, because Donald Trump remembers, it was New California and our numbers guys who first reported what Donald Trump really won California by in 2020. That was the day and a half after the election. We had gave him his numbers, and we said his numbers was 15,800,000 to Biden's 4,600,000. And of course, they flipped the votes around. We caught him doing the flipping the votes and everything. And there's a whole. One of the reasons we went to Shasta County was to corroborate the flipping of the vote so that we could sue California. And we did sue California. We sued Gavin Newsom. We sued Alex Padilla. But the court wouldn't allow our case to go forward until after January 6th. Go figure.
One more
they
minute,
did
but
everything
here's the beautiful
to stall
part.
The case. Uh-huh. We finally got it out. And interestingly enough, we got it out in April. We had a hearing. Well, at that point, we wanted to get everything out in the case,
mm-hmm.
make it public. So we did. We got that job done. And 2 days later, we find out that Shirley Weber certified the 2020 electoral vote count.
Instead of Alex Padilla, who was the Secretary of State.
He was supposed to have certified that, signed it.
In December.
Sign it before January 6th.
Exactly. Hey, Paul.
He never signed it. He never signed it.
Thank you so much for calling in. We're going to go to break, and I will definitely make an announcement about January 4th hearing at the Atascadero Republican headquarters. It will be on elections. We want everyone to come out, share their stories. It will be from 11 to 2 p.m. January 4th. Paul, thank you. Paul Preston, New California State, thank you for calling in today.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
Hey there, glad you could make it. Come on in.
Wow, your kitchen looks amazing. So does your whole house.
Thanks. We just had our cabinets refinished by Peek Painting. They did such a fantastic job, we had them come back and paint our whole living area.
I guess you could say they have your stamp of approval.
Yes, sir, just like everyone else on Google and Yelp. Booking a quote is easy. Just go to peekpainting.com. That's P-E-E-K painting.com. And book a time and day that fits your schedule. No back and forth phone tag, just click and book.
Sounds too easy.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location, Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online. DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
If you're looking for a safe, comfortable living situation for your elderly family member, Paso Robles Senior Living is the place. Each of their homes care for six residents and provide personal attention for your loved ones. Healthy, home-cooked meals, sometimes using fruits and vegetables right out of their garden. When it comes time to consider moving mom or dad, Paso Robles Senior Living has provided a loving environment since 2015. Call 805-821-1049. Paso Robles Senior Living.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Sound Off. This is Darcia Stebbins sitting in for Al Fonzi, and it is Friday after Christmas, and we are taking calls, and we just heard from Paul Preston from New California State, and one of the reasons everyone knows that I have been paying attention to the elections the last several years especially, and one of the reasons why I was hoping he might be able to call in was to let people know about where we are on our elections. People are like, well, you know, Donald Trump's going to be our president and et cetera, et cetera. I said, no, you don't understand. Until we can get our elections and and elections are at the county level. And I'm letting you know, folks, all across this county, there are court cases. There are tremendous resources that are coming out, coming forward with proof, with evidence, and it's all coming out. I'll just say that. So we have cases in Pennsylvania. In fact, the U.S. attorney there has resigned to, quote, here's our quote of the day, spend more time with his family. And we have thousands and thousands and thousands of votes without voters, where the numbers not only don't make sense, it's not possible. So all of this in the 2024 election, they had the numbers in 2020, but were not able to bring that forward. And it took 4 years of an administration where it just kept coming and coming and coming, like, this doesn't make sense. We're getting locked down. We're getting, our rights are getting taken away. They're issuing mandates. Mandates are not laws. Why are we having to comply? We don't need to comply. They're not laws. And so for, I think the last 4 years, we've just been saying, you know, don't believe your lying eyes. And we're being shown things that we knew were not true, not truths. And I just appreciate that we are here, and the group of patriots in this North County, especially San Luis Obispo, who have worked tirelessly to be able to run for office and get elected. And people say, well, you know, how do people get elected if the whole system's corrupt? How do they get elected? It takes a lot of hard work and it takes a lot of backing. And we have been able to do that and have some wonderful people. I'm so excited to see what we might have coming forward, the school boards, the city councils. And I'm excited to be able to see where we can go now that we have people who are stepping up and being able to see the truth. And we have, let's go to the phone lines. Maybe we'll get a corny joke. I do have a few for you guys. And welcome to Sound Off.
And Happy New Year to you.
Oh,
yes. Thank you for all the hard work you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And I appreciate that you were one that was willing to come to the 3 days that I had in court there. Small claims court.
Well,
it's the county of San Luis Obispo.
You know what my comment is about the claim. You know what I mean.
I do. Okay,
Happy New Year to you.
You
thanks
bet.
Again.
Thank you, Dale. I do have a question for you.
Oh, what's that?
What do you? I have a corny joke. I'm just trying to decide which one's best for you.
Okay.
A book fell in my head. I only have my shelf to blame. And a woman at a bank asked to check her balance, so I pushed her over. Do you have an attorney joke?
No, well, most people know that I was an attorney and that I'm 86, about to turn 87, and I've never had heart trouble. You know why?
Because you
have
don't
no heart.
All right. Thanks, Dale. Perfect. Well done.
Okay.
Thanks so
Bye-bye.
Much. Great. All right there. And so Dale is I do appreciate that he wanted to come and attend the court case where the county clerk recorder had sued me for funds that she had charged for the recount back in November of 2022, and I had said that I thought that they had overcharged us, and that I believe they overcharged us by a lot, but nonetheless there were those remaining funds, and the Superior Court judge did find in my favor and say that yes, they did overcharge by $5,000, and that I believe some of those funds are recoverable. And I will be putting in a claim. I didn't want to do so while Debbie Arnold was still on the board, but I will be putting in a claim for those funds. Just to give you a sense of where we are in our county and some of the voter rolls, and I'll have one. And give you a sense of where we are with our voter rolls and why I'm still concerned and why we can't just not go back and look at 2020. And look at 2022 and look at 2024 elections, especially in our county, because we have on the voter rolls almost over 9,000 ballots that went out to people where according to the U.S. Postal Service or the change of national change of address databases, where there's no delivery, no mail delivery for whatever reason, for a variety of reasons, but 9,000 out of our 180 some thousand, there are people who have moved with no forwarding address. We have out of state. We have mailing addresses that are out of state, at least 300, 200, and a little over 200, then half of those voted. So it's when they're voting, that when they're being mailed out to somebody that is not able to send that back in, to me, that's a cost where if nothing else, it's an efficiency and it's a cost that we, the taxpayers, are bearing where it cannot be recouped. There are locations that have been vacant for 90 days, over 600 of those, over 400 of the vacant for 90 day residences, over 400 of those voted. So these are the things where we have research, we have information, and this becomes a project. This is becomes where our small but mighty group, a team of people, they go out and they look at all of the areas where we think that some of the elections data doesn't make sense. And I can tell you that we are not done. My job is not done. And I so appreciate all the people who have been willing to listen to this. I know it seems like it gets old. It's like, can we just let this go? You know, people say this to Greg and Cody and people who call in about the water. Can we just let this go? What you don't, or maybe you don't realize, is that we can't let it go. We must keep digging, keep exposing. Karen on Cal Coast News, when she puts out articles, and we have the city councils and we have the school boards, everyone's going to be short of money. And where did the money go and how did it get there? And we have to continue, because we, the people, are the government. They work for us, and we have to keep it going, because if we don't, we will never get to the bottom of it. We need to right the ship. And please be willing to listen just one more time. And if you can, join us for the January 4th at the Atascadero Republican headquarters from 11 to 2. We will have a hearing, and the hearing will be on the elections. And you can bring your stories, good, bad, ugly, whatever it may be. But this will be our chance for our county to bring this information forward to district attorney, sheriff, U.S. attorneys, FBI, and as you heard, Paul Preston, even to Cash Patel, Donald Trump. So this is a big deal. I wanted people to realize that we have this chance, this opportunity, one of probably three counties in the state that really have done the work to be able to provide this information to people. So again, want to keep it somewhat light, but we have the January 6ers that are still in, many of them over 240 prisoners. Some of them haven't had their trial. Most of them haven't had a trial, haven't been sentenced. They walked into the Capitol on January 6th. Evidence is now coming out, Liz Cheney and others, that withheld evidence. And so I believe that there is a reckoning. I believe that at some point in time, this information will be coming out at how what has transpired over the last 3-4 years, especially. But going back, I'd say probably 20 years, we have the Help America's Vote Act that came out after the 2001 election, or the election issues. And so much is coming out, folks. I hope that you'll want to still be engaged and love KPRL, the listeners, and the family, and the family of patriots. I got to meet some more of you. And every time, please come up, say hi, and have a corny joke. All right. Thanks so much. Darsha Stebbins signing off. How do you make an egg roll? You push it. All right. I did have more.
This hour Let's of go. Sound Off was brought to you by the Work Family Ranch, the perfect outdoor activity for any level rider. Book your horseback ride today, 805-467-3362, or go to workranch.com.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.